With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Democrat leaders trying to resolve lingering concerns by moderates in hopes of finally pushing President Biden's multi-trillion dollar domestic agenda through the House. Leaders have met privately with centrists who want an official cost estimate from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office before voting on the $1.85 trillion social and environmental bill. Democrats can lose no more than three votes in the narrowly divided House to pass that legislation. The Fed's going after the Lone Star State.
The Biden administration has filed suit against Texas over the voter integrity law that has outlasted a summer of dramatic protests by the Democrats. The lawsuit does not go after the entirety of the bill signed in September by Republican Governor Greg Abbott. Instead, the challenge targets various provisions surrounding mail-in voting requirements and voter assistance, which the Justice Department argues violate federal civil rights protections. Abbott and other Texas Republicans say the changes provide safeguards against voter fraud. Jason Walker reporting.
Also at SRNNews.com, Pfizer joining the race to bring COVID-19 medication to the market.
The drug maker says its experimental antiviral pill cuts rates of hospitalization and death by nearly 90%. Pfizer plans to ask the Food and Drug Administration and international regulators to authorize it as soon as possible. After Pfizer applies, the FDA could make a decision within weeks or months. The FDA already is reviewing Merck's COVID-19 pill. On Thursday, the United Kingdom became the first country to okay it. Currently, all COVID-19 treatments used in the U.S. require an IV or injection. Mike Hemp in Washington.
The Dow up 209 points. The Nasdaq ahead 32 points. This is SRN News.
A flood watch is in effect until Saturday at 2 p.m. For your Friday afternoon, breezy with showers, maybe a thunderstorm, high 63. Tonight, windy with more showers and possible thunderstorms, low 54. Saturday will start the weekend cloudy and windy with more showers, high 61. Saturday night, cloudy and windy, low 49. And Sunday, mostly sunny, high up to 67.
Harold Berman is the teacher in Israel. Pastor Dave McGarrah is the preacher from Idaho. And so the dialogue begins each week 9,000 miles apart as they host the teacher and the preacher to bridge the distance between Jews and Christians. Hear the latest conversation between a Christian pastor and an Orthodox Jew as they seek to inspire, enlighten, and open listener minds and hearts to deeper levels of faith. To learn more and listen to past shows, visit theteacherandthepreacher.com. Saturdays at 11 a.m. on The Truth and always at theteacherandthepreacher.com.
Six, five, four, three, two, one, zero. All engines running, commit liftoff.
Hello and welcome to SWAT Radio with Doug McCary of His Light Ministries. So happy you are listening today. I am Taylor Johnson, and if you would like to join the discussion, please call us at 1-844-777-SWAT. Again, that's 1-844-777-7928, or you can email us at taylor@swatradio.com. That's Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, @swatradio.com. Well, as has been the case all week, Doug McCary is out of the studio, and in today for him once again is David Gray. David was in on Wednesday, and we're glad to have him back in today. How's it going today, David?
Good, Taylor. How are you?
Doing well.
Yeah,
doing
good to be here, as always. A little bit of a thrill ride getting in here.
Yeah.
We are having what for our area is a big non-hurricane related storm. This is about as stormy as it ever gets other than a hurricane.
Yeah, and you know what? It's cold as well, so it reminds me of Indiana. I kind of like it, to be honest. I'm excited to be able to sit at home and hang out and watch a movie.
I agree. There's something about, you know, I grew up in the Northeast. You're from someplace else, and where there was some weather, and there, you know, I love the weather here. And don't get me wrong, I do not miss long, cold winters. Yeah. I always joke that I'd love to have a New England winter from, you know, for the month of December, right? You know,
I'd say a little in Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you know, maybe to, Thanksgiving to New Year's, right? But I don't miss it. But days like this, we get so much weather that is so good that it's nice to have a little change. And I'm a weather guy. I love watching storms. I love it in the summer when we get to see the thunderstorms. And But I also love the reaction here anytime it gets a little colder and there's a big storm. And, you know my penchant for movies and comedy and all that. But there's an old Steve Martin movie called L.A. Story that he wrote. And it's a parody of life in Los Angeles is really what it is. It's about 20 years old. But he plays kind of a wacky weatherman in the movie. And there's a scene where he goes out and interviews residents about how they handled it when, to quote him, the night before the temperature dropped to a bone chilling 57 degrees. And he's interviewing people about what they did. And, you know, he's kind of freaking out. And one guy says, well, you know, I shut the windows and brought the cat in, you know. So, anyway, that's kind of how the reaction is around here sometimes, you know, when the temperature drops below 65 degrees. So anyway, but we need the rain, and it's kind of a nice change.
Yeah, it's a nice change of pace. And, you know, my wife is a Florida girl, so for her, anything below 70 is trouble. But for me, I like it.
Yeah. Have you had any plans for this weekend that are now going to be washed out? Because I think it's supposed to be pretty rough tomorrow.
No, you know, we have been really busy the past 2 weeks, so we were looking forward to just chilling anyway. So that's the case, and that's what we're going
to
be doing.
Good.
So.
Good. Yeah. Well, it'll be a good day tomorrow for sure to do that.
Yeah. What about you? You guys got anything going on?
No, not too much. Actually, I'll give a plug. My wife helps out, and Doug is familiar with this. Doug has brought his kids over there. My wife helps out at a place right near our house. A friend of hers has started a it's a horse therapy process.
I think we've maybe talked about it a little bit
before. For disabled kids or challenged kids And it's great. It's fantastic. My grandson, who's had a few speech delays, he's been over there and done it. It's called Bit of Faith Ranch. So there's the play on words there. And I sound like Michael Scott from The Office explaining the play on words. But anyway, Kelly usually helps out over there on Saturday mornings. That'll probably get rained out. And, you know, I've had a couple SWAT buddies that I've been playing golf with on a fairly regular basis. So we may not be able to do that, but that's not the end of the world.
Yeah, right. You've been checking out the news at all today? You seen anything interesting?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, just some of the things that, there's a never-ending supply.
Yeah, right.
When it comes to the political, is there? But just some of the things that, you know, we were talking about yesterday, kind of the follow-up to the Virginia race especially. You know, you and I were talking about the woman, her name is Winsome Sears, who was... won the lieutenant governor's race in Virginia, first woman, forget minority woman, first woman to begin with to win that office in Virginia. And she's a Jamaican immigrant. You know, she's a naturalized U.S. citizen, former Marine, you know, loves the country, and she's already being just slammed. Saw a story today where one commentator referred to her as a black mouth for white supremacy.
Yeah.
And that just... it makes me so sad to hear that. It makes me angry, but it makes me sad too.
Yeah, you know, that's nothing new as far, I think, you know, black conservatives or black people who don't fit the mold have experienced that quite a lot. You know, Thomas Sowell talks about it quite often. But yeah, that's not really a surprise. What is a surprise is that there seems to be no self-awareness. And to double down on this is white supremacy, this is racism, is absolutely astounding. I mean, in New Jersey, where, you know, a guy who spent $153 beat somebody who'd been in there for 20 years, someone in Seattle wins, who's a law and order type candidate, wins in Seattle, of all places, gets Ted Wheeler to say, oh, hey, city, can we fund the police again? You know, on the city level, people are at least realizing, okay, hold up, what's going on?
Yep.
But nationally, it seems to be more of the same, trying to ramrod an agenda, and to couple that as a way to get that agenda going is to label anything else racist, regardless of how racist you sound,
right,
or you are, I guess, in order to push that agenda. Because to call her someone in blackface, you know, blackface of white supremacy, that's just racism. Yeah. That's just bigotry,
right? It really is. One of the more conservative commentators I read that responded to that was quoted as saying, people of color are duty bound, according to the left, to recite liberal orthodoxy and pledge allegiance to that side of the fence. And if they don't, then they're just as bad as anybody else.
Well, Joe Biden told you what it is. If you don't vote for me, you ain't black. There you don't fall in line, if you don't toe the line of the Democrat plantation, then you are, well, you're a threat, but you're also not really black. Candace Owens, I mean, you hear about that. Even even Kanye West.
Yep.
And, you know, Kanye West actually might have some sway in the black community to pull people out of that mindset.
Right.
But even him, they, he needs mental health. He's this, he's that.
Right.
Yeah, it's just that there's a stranglehold on that community. And until the community stands up and says, no, we're not taking this, you know, it's going to stay that way. And, you know, for me, it's sad to see, you know, just obviously with my family background and stuff, but it's something that, you know, until the community demands the change, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. And you and I were talking about this before we came on, I'm not totally up on this. I know that the Supreme Court is looking at the Texas abortion law case and I guess to determine, you know, whether to let it stand, right? Mm-hmm. Or to strike it down. But apparently in conjunction with that, and this is where I'm a little fuzzy, but there are hearings going on in Congress where there are hearings going on having to do with the law and having to do with abortion access or you know, and I read an article about some senators or some congressmen, I should say, questioning some abortion access advocates who are in before Congress.
Some baby and murder advocates.
Basically, and it was just a very interesting article. I just encourage people to go out and look at it because they're asking these people very direct questions about, do you consider that a life is being ended? Do you consider that a life is being taken? And the folks that are the advocates for the access are not answering the questions. They're bobbing and weaving and avoiding the questions and answering from it's always about a healthcare issue, trying to kind of obfuscate it with that kind of language. So again, I don't want to get too deeply into that because I didn't read up on it enough and I'm not educated on it enough on that particular hearing, but I would encourage people just to go read it and see what's going on and see how the discussion is playing out.
Yeah. And, you know, talking about the issue that's come up to the Supreme Court, I think this is something that people need to look at because obviously we want that to be upheld, that the limitation on abortion in Texas would not be tampered with in any way. But also, you know, politically, it's something that for Donald Trump, if he wants to run again in 2024, this is going to be a big thing because he put three justices in there in order to specifically deal with the issue of abortion. And I'll be honest, I'm not too hopeful that that his justices are going to come through on that matter because just the rulings in the past year, there have been a lot of questionable ones, especially from someone like Amy Coney Barrett, who was supposed to be the replacement for Scalia. She's supposed to be this titan. Right. And she has done some things that are just like, where did that come from?
I know.
And
I know. Yep.
So that makes the abortion question one that is troubling, that I don't know how they're going to respond. And this isn't a ban on abortion. You know, people are calling it the abortion ban in Texas. This is a limitation of abortion. And it's a stepping stone to get it completely banned at some point.
Correct. It is a stepping stone. It's not a ban. It still allows legal abortion at, you know, it's if I understand it correctly, it's limiting it to as soon as a heartbeat is detected, right?
Yeah, pretty much 6 weeks, I think, is the cutoff.
Yeah, so. And I know we're going to come up on a break, but on a lighter note, and we can pick up on this on the other side, you know, you and Brad may have touched on this, but this whole Let's Go Brandon phenomenon.
Oh, yeah.
And without getting into the origins of that, I'll let people, well, I can say it at a high level. It comes from a crowd chanting something that wasn't particularly nice about Joe Biden at a NASCAR race. And somebody was interviewing, a woman from the sports station was interviewing the winner whose name happened to be Brandon, and she announced that they were chanting, "Let's go, Brandon."
Clearly that they weren't.
When they were chanting something derogatory, to say the least, about the president. And anyway, we'll pick up on that on the other side of the break, but it's kind of humorous, a couple of the reactions to that.
Yeah, so stick with us. We will be back with more, after the break. Like to let you know that you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. At SWAT Radio Talk is the handle. That is at SWAT Radio Talk. And you can download our SWAT app in the App Store. You're listening to SWAT Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain,
that is Chain Breaker by Zach Williams. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And if you were just joining us before the break, David and I were talking a little bit about the Let's Go Brandon meme that has taken off. This is obviously going back to a video in which a crowd was chanting an epitaph, I guess, for Joe Biden is a good way to put it. And the lady who was interviewing someone who had just won a NASCAR race was saying that they were saying, "Let's go, Brandon," when clearly they weren't. So we were just talking about that a little bit.
Yeah, and my point in bringing it up was not to focus on what that means, you know, that it's a code for something else. But the reaction to it by those who said the exact same type of things or far worse about Trump. And whether you like Trump or don't, that's not my point. My point is the double standard. And I think we see this so much throughout. It's infected everything that we deal with in all areas of society. This idea that there's outrage about those who think that that shouldn't be said about Biden. And that's a cleaned up version of what they were saying. And it's kind of become just this rallying cry of a way to show that people disagree with him.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, and it's more than just that. And I think this is the reason that there's an issue with, I was listening to someone talk about this and the issue is it is pulling the pants down of, you know, the corporate media and showing a mockery and a farce of what it is. I mean, clearly in the video, I mean, if you watch the video, clearly, that's not what's being said. And to try to spin it like that and to think that people are so dumb.
She should have just ignored it.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing that people are so dumb that they're going to take that. Right. Well, people are taking that and running with it because it's really poking fun at the corporate media who thinks that they're the arbiters of truth. Yeah. And that's why they're so upset about it.
Great point. But I went back. I read an article that went back and summarized many of the things that were said on live TV. Mm-hmm. About Trump by well-known, high-profile actors, musicians, activists. And if you go back and read some of those things, they're far worse. Madonna talking about blowing up the White House. Mm-hmm. Music videos that depicted Trump being assassinated. And
Kathy Griffin holding up his head.
Exactly. Robert De Niro on live TV at the Tonys, you know, dropping that bomb on about Trump. And again, I'm not advocating any of that. You know, even as much as I disagree maybe with certain things about the current administration, what the Bible tells us, you know, we're to pray for our leaders and respect the office and be subordinate to the government unless certain conditions apply. But it doesn't mean we can't disagree and work for change. That's also biblical. Yeah. And so, you know, my point is not, again, to bring up what's actually being said, but to your point, the exposure of the hypocrisy, the double standard, the way the media treats the citizenry like people are stupid and are going to buy that. And, you know, so anyway, interesting
just
story.
Just on another level, it is kind of funny that they're the ones who are playing the offended about, we shouldn't use this coarse language, which, yeah, we should not. That coarse, well, let's go, Brandon is not coarse language, but, you know, what else was being said is coarse.
Right.
And, yeah, we should not be using that language, but it is funny to see the same corporate media who has pushed the society towards a more and more vulgar disposition now being the ones who are so shocked and their right. delicate sensibilities are hurt. It's just
delicate sensibilities. Yeah. I like that. I like that phrase. Well, finally, to end all of this and kind of end the week on a more uplifting news story, I was telling you before we came on, I read a story about this happened in Wisconsin, apparently, and I don't know if the students were from a Christian school or a public school. I didn't get into that, but they had a teacher who apparently, she is 66 years old, she's got terminal cancer, stage 4 cancer. She's dying. And the students, I think over 20 of them, came to the hospital. They brought her to the entrance of the hospital in a wheelchair. And the students sang to her. And it said they were singing worship songs to her. And not only the students, but apparently many of the parents of the students had had this woman as a teacher as well. And so it was just there were some great quotes in the story. And, you know, again, I love the phrase Doug uses about putting Jesus on display. And that's a great way to summarize, you know, what our mission is. And that was a real example. And again, the article didn't get in too much to what school they were from or what was going on. But it did mention that they were singing worship songs. I'm sure there's going to be some video out there of it. And, you know, I was telling you again before we came on, it was especially meaningful to me. My mom died at the end of May and had cancer, and I was fortunate enough to be there with her for the last week before she died. And a couple days before she died, several people from their church that they've been a part of for she and my dad for 46 years came in and sang hymns to her basically in the room that she was in. And it was incredibly powerful. And, you know, we've been talking in this passage in Acts about one of the aspects of how God works in every salvation experience is he sovereignly chooses his timing.
Yeah.
And of course, not only in salvation, but in all things, especially, you know, in all things and obviously in the life of his people. And, you know, that week my mom was dying, you know, it was getting to the point where myself and my family, you know, we were kind of all thinking it without directly saying it. Okay, Lord, just take her. Well, why is she hanging on? And even, believe it or not, even my mom was saying, and this is so like my mom, she was apologizing to us for her dying taking so long. That she was like worried that we were being put out, that we had to spend the time, you know, that's just how she was. And, you know, there's a joke in there somewhere, and we can laugh about that because that was part of her personality. But as is so often the case, when that week was over and she died and I had a chance to reflect on everything, it became clear that, you know, the folks from her church in there singing to her, she died on Friday, that was on Tuesday. And then some other things that happened on Wednesday and Thursday, including a nurse who came in who hadn't been part of her care at all, but who was there on the night before she died and on the day she died, saw everybody ministering to her and then started asking us questions about who are all these people? What's going on? I've never seen somebody getting so much love. And I realized if my mom had died a day or two earlier, that person would not have experienced that. If she had died a week earlier, you know, and been at another place, the staff there wouldn't have heard the hymns and seen her taking communion and all of that. So it just, you know, I think that one of the things that this passage reminds us is to keep our eyes open for that kind of thing and to trust God completely in the timing of things, even though it doesn't make sense to us at the time. So anyway, I thought that was a nice story to kind of end things after all the other political stuff and news stories.
Well, so. Yeah, and it's a nice story too, just in the times that we live in. I think a lot of people feel isolated and maybe feel like what they do, you know, that they're not seen or recognized for their work. But a good reminder of the blessing of community, right? And then that you can have an impact, and such an impact that the community comes around you at the end of your life.
Right.
And, with just how divided everything is and how isolated people feel, I think it's a good reminder to seek that community. Mm-hmm. And if you're a believer, especially seek that in the body and in fellowship with other believers.
Absolutely. And I was thinking about that as well, about what is it like? Think about what it's been like for people over the last couple of years, especially with COVID. Mm-hmm. How many people suffered and died alone?
Yeah.
I mean, just incredible. And so, you know, obviously one of the pillars of SWAT is community, and I can speak firsthand, of course, and I'm sure you can, to the absolute need for that and the benefit of that. And, you know, I think whenever I say our, I really mean me, but in our natural state, in my natural state, you know, I resist sometimes community, right? I want to isolate. I want to just do my own thing. But the more we partake in it, the more we realize the importance of it. And then when we don't have it, the more we miss it and want to get back to it. So,
yeah. And, you know, I think that's a natural tendency for a lot of men, right? And a lot of, I guess a lot of people, but there's different generational aspects. And your generation is definitely more of a generation of, hey, you know, I'm the rugged individualist. And so it can be even tougher. You know, I've had these conversations with my dad that really buy in, but then when you do buy in, especially for somebody who's more independent minded, to really see, oh, wow, there is some real value and benefit. Mm-hmm. And God knew what he was doing when he created us to be in a community.
Right. You know? I'm glad you used that phrase. I know that anybody who knows me and thinks of me immediately thinks rugged individual. Anyway, I always joke, I love watching the survival shows, you know, Life Below Zero and the Alaska shows. And I always joke, I love it. And I wish I could experience it, but I'd probably be dead in about 3 days, so or less. So anyway, hey, we got a couple minutes here. We're going to get back into Acts chapter 10. And Taylor, why don't we read verses 1 through 27? I think we can get that in before the break, and then we'll get into the text as we come back.
All right, sounds good. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him again a second time, What God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and the thing was taken up to heaven. Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed at what the vision that he had seen meant, behold, the men who were sent to him, having made inquiry of Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging with them. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them.
I almost timed it right.
We got 30 seconds.
All right.
And Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for you coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion an upright and God-fearing man who is well-spoken by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by an angel and sent to come to this house to hear what you have to say. So he invited them in to be his guests. And that is where we're at, and we'll be back with more after the news. You're listening to SWAT Radio. Stay tuned.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at I Love.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. On Capitol Hill, the House will be voting on the infrastructure bill today ahead of the Build Back Better Act. America's employers stepping up their hiring in October with a solid 531,000 jobs. Today's report from the Labor Department also showed that the unemployment rate fell to 4.6% last month. That's down from 4.8% in September. The end of daylight saving time comes Sunday across most of the United States. Standard time will begin at 2 a.m. local time Sunday. Set the clocks back an hour before bed on Saturday night, and you'll be gaining an extra hour of sleep. On Wall Street, stocks have been higher. The Dow up 192 points. The NASDAQ ahead 18. This is SRN News.
Dear Pet.
There's major delays because of a crash on I-10 eastbound at Cassett Avenue blocking the right lane. Also, there's another accident I-10 eastbound at Hammond Boulevard. And there's a crash on the East Beltway 295 northbound at the ramp from Beach Boulevard blocking the on-ramp. Rain and wind tonight. Some of the rain could be heavy at times. Low 54. Saturday, more rain, more wind. High 61.
Hi, my name's Steve Gray. You have questions about your faith, about the Bible, about the objections to the Bible that your friends bring up, and you don't always know what to say. Well, that's what we're here for. On the Narrow Path radio broadcast each weekday, you can call in and ask those questions, and we'll do what we can to answer them for you. TheNarrowPath.com.
Tune in every weekday afternoon at 4, and then again at 10 in the evening to hear The Narrow Path right here on 91.3, 91.9, and 91.7, The Truth.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. I've stood on this stage night after night, reminding the
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. That was Mercy Me with Even If. If you are just joining us, we are looking at Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 33 this week. If you missed any of that, if you've missed any of this program, the first half, you can go to www.swatradio.com. Again, that's www.swatradio.com, and click on the past programs link. It's a long week, man. I'm getting tired. Click on the past programs link there. You'll be able to find our full catalog of programs, including this program here, in just about an hour or so. With that in mind, would you also pray for James Grimm? He is the guy, the SWAT brother, who puts all this on the internet for all of you. He is going through a difficult time looking at losing his job due to the vaccine mandate. So just remember to keep him in prayer. I know I mentioned it yesterday, but just wanted to mention it again.
Yep. Well, you just mentioned, too, it's been a long week and you're tired. And that's a good segue until we get an extra hour of sleep on Saturday night. So don't forget to change your clocks back on Saturday night. Technically, I guess it goes into effect at 2 a.m. on Sunday morning. Yeah. That was always a big night when I was in college. the night you set the clocks back, you know, like you got a full day, right? You got an extra hour, and we all acted like it was a full day. But anyway. So, Taylor, you read a good majority of that text, and we'll finish that text off in a couple of minutes. But this passage, essentially, like we've said, is about the salvation of Cornelius, a Roman, a Gentile, and God's use of Peter to accomplish that, or to be his vessel in accomplishing that. And so far, you know, we've looked at there are four main points. We've looked at a couple of them, but four main points about how in every salvation experience, God works through certain things. And number one is he works through a divinely orchestrated plan. And we've talked about that. Brad talked about that with you to some degree. To a large degree. And but that divinely orchestrated plan, God shows his sovereignty in choosing his people, the way he chose Cornelius, the way he chose Peter. We talked about why it's important to understand that God sovereignly chooses his people. We looked at God's sovereignty in choosing his timing, right? In this chapter, Peter's having the vision, telling him it's okay, you know, to eat unclean animals. And right at that moment, Cornelius's men come and knock on his door. And Cornelius had just been visited by the angel telling him to send for Peter. So that all that timing under God's sovereignty. And that God is sovereign in choosing his plan, right? That verse 5, the plan was send men to Joppa, right, to get Peter. And then it unfolded from there. And then we talked about that in every salvation experience, God works through divinely ordained priests. And we had a long discussion about that, as did you and Brad, about who are the divinely ordained priests. And it's us. It's believers. And we read a lot of scriptures about that point to that we are a royal priesthood, a chosen people. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says we are a people for God's own possession, right? And just that reminder that's why we're here. That's the mission. We are the God's divinely ordained priests. It doesn't take someone
right.
who we might think of as a professional, mm-hmm. right, who's been to seminary or who's this or that, but that we are all considered part of the priesthood. And that, you know, another passage that talks about we are the living temple. We are living stones in the temple. God's presence symbolically used to dwell, you know, in the Old Covenant, in the physical, first in the wilderness, right, and in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, and then in the temple when that was built. But now God's presence, exists in his people and dwells in his people. And so we are a living temple. And as part of that divinely ordained priest's conversation, we talked about, you know, that question, how beautiful are my feet, right? You and Brad had a great conversation about that, about that if people don't hear, if they don't have the good news taken to them, how can they believe, right? How can they respond? And so that question of Brad's pedicure is notwithstanding. We had to get another shot in there at you, Brad. That's two. But that question of that self-examination question of how beautiful are my feet? Are my feet active in taking the good news? I don't think I got to this, but Doug had a couple of great quotes in the SWAT Bible study about that, talking about be an ambassador, not an emperor, in our own lives, right? Did you recall him saying that? And what did that mean to you? How did that hit you? What does that tell you?
I remember who the king is.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Right. Right. That an ambassador, we're representing someone else. Mm-hmm. An ambassador is under the service, like you said, of the king or their leader. And Doug talks a lot about, especially when we went to Israel, about that disciples or followers of a rabbi, their goal was to be like the rabbi, but to be in service of the rabbi. And here, the same thing. We are to be ambassadors for Christ with beautiful feet, not emperors. The emperor is kind of an end to himself. Right. Brad mentioned the Dead Sea. And it's, you know, we got to go there and it was really a cool experience, but it's dead because it only takes water in. There's no outflow, right? And we don't want to be like that. We're not emperors of our lives or in the world. We're ambassadors. It's Christ's world and we belong to him. And then also the fact that as a divinely ordained priest, Peter was approachable and available, right? He healed Aeneas earlier in that chapter. He raised, actually in chapter 9, he raised Dorcas. Cornelius was in some ways spiritually dead right before he knew Christ, and Peter was involved in the raising of Cornelius to spiritual life. And, you know, we're going to talk about this a little more as we get into the rest of this, but it's hard to always be approachable and available, isn't it? Because things of the world weigh you down a little bit, and keeping up with all this is tiring. It's tiring. Do you experience that?
Oh yeah. And you know, sometimes
you just yawned earlier. Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes you're just tired in general. And as somebody who has a resting mean looking face, it takes a lot of energy to come off as approachable, you know, whether right. I And if I'm not, you know, if I get a little tired, I'm not really thinking so much about what my face looks like. And yep. I could probably look pretty standoffish, even if I'm not really feeling that way.
Right, right. And as an athlete, I know you know the importance of, I use these two words a lot. I used to use them with my kids, be approachable and coachable, mm-hmm. right? Be willing to learn, understand that you don't know everything and that you've got a lot to learn. And so I think as believers, you know, being, having that kind of humility and that kind of attitude is really important, because I think people do have questions and they do want to hear things, but you don't want them to be like feeling like they can't approach you because you're irritated, you know, or right. I'm irritated. And then thirdly, God in every salvation experience works through a divine opportunity to profess, right? In verse 8 of what you read, it talks about how Cornelius told his men that he was going to send to Peter exactly what the angel told him and why mm-hmm. they needed to go get Peter. And then later on, Peter saw the vision and then had the Lord tell him, there are men at the door, go with them, right? And Peter did, right? So this idea that, you know, we have this opportunity to profess. Well, to profess what, right? Our love for God and our obedience with words and actions. You know, we talked about this a lot in SWAT, that it's not just words, but it's the actions that back up the words, right? And again, Cornelius sent his men. Peter went to Cornelius, right? So the actions revealed their faith and their trust in God and revealed their obedience to what God was asking. And so there are some passages that we wanted to read quickly in Scripture that just talk about how our love for God is displayed by our obedience and our actions. Doug talked about that's what the world is really looking at. That's the way that they're going to see our love for Jesus, is by our obedience and our actions. And so why don't we read a couple of those? I actually had the first one, Taylor. It's John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. And Jesus, it says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So a familiar passage, but the idea that abiding in the word, being obedient to Christ, shows that we're his disciples. And then I think you had Luke 9, 23 to 25.
Yep. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Mm. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?
Mm. Just as a quick aside, I may have mentioned this when I was on before, but when we were in Israel, one of the places we got to go was Caesarea Philippi. Mm. And Caesarea Philippi was a huge pagan city up in the northern part of Israel or of Judea. And the disciples probably wondered, why are we here? And that's where Jesus gave the teaching of, he told Peter, you're the rock, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, there was a real visual object lesson there, in that Caesarea Philippi was a real visible example of the gates of hell. And Jesus' point was, gates are defensive. The church is to be offensive, going into places even like that. And so that changed that whole passage for me. I, you know, you read things in Scripture, right? And they went to Capernaum, mm-hmm. and they went to Bethsaida, and you don't think about it. But having been over there and having that location explained makes that passage so much more rich. But the passage you just read about take up your cross daily and follow me and deny yourself was also said at Caesarea Philippi. Check me on that, but I looked at that after Doug taught on that. And I guess the point I took from it was, here in the cradle of all the world has to offer, all the pleasures of the world, right? Food and orgies and this and that. Jesus is saying, you got to deny yourself and follow me, right? In other words, be obedient. And then John 14:15 is a familiar verse where Jesus says very simply, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right? So obedience equals love. And then you had 1 John 2:4.
Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
I know we're going to come up to the break, but the question I want to kind of hit us with before the break is, do we see our primary mission to serve at God's direction, right? To be his ambassador. Going back to Hebrews, are we all in? Those are some of the things I was thinking about as we were getting this lesson originally from Doug. So we'll hit on those as we get back.
All right, so stick with us. We will be back with more after the break. You are listening to SWAT Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomnehl.com.
That is Need to Breathe coming at you with Brother. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. If you are just joining us, we are looking at chapter 10, verses 1 through 33. We are going to be finishing that up today. That's what we've looked at this week. If you would like to join the discussion or if you have any questions, please call us at 1-844-777-SWAT. Again, that's 1-844-777-7928. Or you can email us at taylor@swatradio.com. That's Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, at swatradio.com. We are going to finish up with this, and then if we have time, maybe towards the end, if you have questions, we would love to have you call in.
So before the break, we were just talking about, you know, being a divinely ordained priest and then having a divine opportunity to profess. And I was just pondering that question of what is it in our lives that keeps us from taking those divine opportunities to profess? And any thoughts on that in terms of, you know, opportunities that we let slip by and how we might be aware of that and watch out for those?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think fear is definitely the biggest one that keeps people from, you know, professing and from being an opportunity to be a witness. And also even, you know, when God comes to them and says, follow me, keep them from actually following. So I think fear is probably the biggest. It has to be the biggest one.
Yeah, I agree with you. For me, I know it's also just, it's sin in my life sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's flat out laziness.
Yeah, pride.
It's flat out not caring sometimes and not appreciating the importance of the message of the gospel. I mean, when you really stop and think, what the destiny of people is apart from Christ, that should produce an urgency. Mm-hmm. And I think Doug's great about that. I think Doug really, really conveys that. And I hope it's rubbing off on me because there's a lot of times where I'm just not as urgent about that as I should be. And, you know, all those things are kind of things that are on us, right, that are part of our sinful nature or old nature, and God's changing that. Yeah. We know that. But another important factor to remember so that we don't lose heart, if you will, is to remember that we're opposed. And, you know, John Eldridge is one of my favorite authors, and everybody knows him from Wild at Heart, but he wrote a lot of other good books, too. And he wrote one called Waking the Dead, and I have a quote from that. I'm not going to read it in the interest of time, but he talks a lot in that book about the fact that we are in a battle. Now, we know the outcome. The outcome's been decided. But that doesn't mean that the enemy, or the devil, is not going to try to inflict as much damage as he can while he still can.
Mm-hmm.
And we're part of that, and we're needed in that. And, you know, Proverbs 4:23, I don't have this in very good position. I keep moving my mouth from the microphone. Out of practice. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it is the wellspring of life. And what is it that the enemy tries to do? He tries to get at our heart, right? He hits us with all kinds of different things that may cause us to lose heart. And if we lose heart, we're not going to be effective, right? And get into this a little bit more in a minute, but how do we combat that attack? And how do we combat loss of heart? And how do we guard our heart? But and then finally, you know, this idea of divine opportunity to profess, right? It's professing our love for God, professing the truth of who Jesus is and the, what the gospel says, right? And you and Brad were touching on the idea of our testimonies, but also having the ability to do a quick and clear presentation of the gospel if we only have a couple of minutes or 30 seconds or whatever mm-hmm. it is. And, you know, that kind of reminded me of when we went to the Philippines, and Brad and I were both part of that in 2018, we were going to be able to do evangelistic type 10 to 15 minute presentations at schools.
Mm.
And one of the things we worked on was that little outline of the gospel, and it stayed with me. You know, it's this 4-point quick, you know, kind of good way, I think, to explain the gospel, this idea that God's plan was to originally have us be in perfect dependent relationship with him, that we would live sinlessly like Adam and Eve were created, and that we would be in perfect relationship. But then we have our problem, right? Point one is God's plan. Point two is our problem. We sinned, right? Adam and Eve sinned, but you and I would have sinned as well, right? And everybody has sinned. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that this problem doesn't just cause separation from God. You know, if you say to somebody, well, it causes you to be separated from God, they might think, well, that's not that bad. But the real thing is it causes us to be under God's judgment and wrath and punishment forever. But God loved us so much that point three is his solution is Jesus, right? That Jesus came, died for our sins, lived a perfect life, and that we get that, to use that big boy theological term, as my friend says, double imputation, right? His righteousness is credited to us. Our sin is put on his account. But that Jesus, it doesn't stop there. He demands a response, and that's point four. What is our response to Jesus? We know that the only way to be saved is to put our faith in him. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ plus nothing, right? So I just thought that, you know, I'd encourage people to have that kind of a good little outline. It doesn't hurt to practice that. And I'm guilty of not having done that and had to do that as part of that trip. And so that was, I think that's a good point about being able to be ready to profess, right? Bible says to always have an answer for the hope that's in us. And then finally, God in all salvation experiences works through a divinely observable presence, right? So in every salvation experience, the individual who's being saved hears the gospel, typically from a believer, right, who carries the Spirit of God, reflected by humility in the believer, reflected by dependence on God. In verse 33, I why don't you read that real quick? I think we got a couple of minutes. Why don't we read from 23 to 33 just to finish that off?
You mean 27 where it says that?
Sorry, 27's fine. Yeah, that's right. Fine.
And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. So I went for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord.
Thanks. So verse 33 right there, Cornelius says, we're all here in the presence of God. So again, with a divinely observable presence, and Peter carried the Spirit of the Lord. And of course, there are scriptures that tell us that. In Ephesians 2:18, it says, for through him we both, meaning Jews and Gentiles, have access in one Spirit to the Father. And in Acts 3:19-20, it says, repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed to you, even Jesus. You know, when I read that and I thought, I see repent and then refreshing, I immediately thought of the prodigal son. Mm. Was anybody more refreshed or relieved than the prodigal son, right? And of course, that's the picture of any of us who repent, even as Doug talks about that a lot, right? That we still screw up. We're not perfect, but what do we do when we do screw up? Go repent quickly, right? And get the we don't stop being God's sons and daughters, mm-hmm. but the communication can get a little messed up, right? Because of our sin. And so we go to him and repent. And then, you know, kind of similar to what we were just talking about what are the things in our lives that keep us from being effective, divinely ordained priests and effectively professing our love and obedience for God and professing the gospel. I turned to the wrong page. I'm going, I already talked about that. I'm getting tired too. But the question is a divinely observable presence always evident in me? And God doesn't move. I do. And mm-hmm. so that presence, I think, how it shines through me is brighter at times and certainly dimmer at times. And I thought of John 15:5, where Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so that leads us finally to thinking about our time alone with God, right? Where it did for me. Why is that important? Well, it's important, first of all, because he commands it. And it's an end in itself, in the sense that God wants that one-on-one time with us. He wants that relationship. And it's we're in his presence, we're worshiping, we're communing, we're loving him. We don't hear this very often. Here's a Zephaniah verse. How many times have we read verses from Zephaniah? 3:17, it says, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing, right? That should change how we feel about spending one-on-one time with him, that's his reaction to us. I don't think of that very often. I've said in my testimony before, there was a time in my life where I knew God loved me because he had to, because he's God. I didn't think he liked me very much, you know? And I think that verse really kind of can clear some of that up. And then finally, our time with God, of course, fuels us. It's our time with God that allows us to really show that divinely observable presence, right? To be light, to be salt, right? That we're with him. And I have a friend who says he fuels us up, right? He teaches us, he emboldens us for the mission. And I'll end with this. You know, you're an athlete. You played in a lot of games. How would you have played if you sat in a quiet locker room alone, as opposed to sitting in a locker room with a coach giving you a pep talk and your teammates getting you fired up, right? Different result probably. So we get fueled up, you know, to use that athletic analogy, by the Lord for our mission, in a similar way, but in a much more important way.
Right. Well, that is all the time we have for today and for the week. You've been listening to SWAT Radio. If you missed any of this program or would like to listen to past programs, please visit us at www.swatradio.com. That's www.swatradio.com, where you can listen to our podcast by searching SWAT Radio, and you can also download our SWAT app in the App Store. Join us weekdays at 3:00 for more SWAT Radio. We will see you then. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you have a great weekend.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the